It's the Bill Murphy Show. A daily one-on-one 30-minute interview featuring people from all walks of life. Available daily at BillMurphyShow.com. And now, here's your host, Bill Murphy.
With your digital broadcast for Tuesday, August 10th, 2010. As I do at the top of every show, I got to thank you listeners for being loyal and downloading and listening every single day, no matter who we bring you. And also tell you that the show is brought to you, as usual, by Lulu's Bait Shack. Lulu's fresh Florida seafood, gigantic fishbowl drinks and live music, located in Beach Place on A1A in the heart of Fort Lauderdale Beach. I got to spend a lot of time down in Fort Lauderdale Beach this past weekend and stopped by there and go by there and have a good time. Even if you're not from the area, keep it in mind for when you do visit. On our broadcast today, we're going to get into the actual industry that I'm involved in here, and that is web radio with a longtime former co-worker of mine, Diane Ray, who's contacting us from the West Coast, I guess somewhere between Los Angeles and San Diego. Diane, was that where you are?
Yes, you're close. I'm about 30 minutes north of San Diego proper in Carlsbad. Fabulous Carlsbad, California.
Big and, surfing area there, right?
Big surfing, and I know you're a big golfer. We're very close to Torrey Pines.
Oh, I'm jealous.
Yeah. Got to come out and visit.
Well, I definitely couldn't work there because I'd be skipping work and going to Torrey Pines as much as possible, you know?
A lot of people do. They do. It's just awesome weather. It's really beautiful.
I haven't really warmed up too well to California the few times I've been there, although I do spend some time out in the desert. You talk about a golf capital, but L.A. and San Diego, I don't know. It just didn't get along with me that well. I don't understand. I guess you have to... It takes a while, or you have to have a certain kind of personality to be a California resident.
I guess so. You got to get used to the earthquakes, too. That's freaked me out a couple of times. I thought after hurricanes at home,
it would
be no big deal, you know, but it is.
Earthquakes or hurricanes, take your pick.
Yeah, scary.
Diane is involved in an awesome online outfit called Hay House Radio. I was doing my research and checking it out. You are... helping people out every single day and getting to do very cool interviews. Do tell much more about what's going on over there at Hay House Radio.
Yeah, it's really an interesting concept. I've been here about 4 years now, and when I found out about it, I was actually working at KPBS, the public radio affiliate out here in San Diego, and I saw an ad. It said radio producer for online network, hayhouseradio.com, so I checked it out, and I thought...
How long ago was this?
Wow. This was 4 years ago. I've been here 4 years.
Okay.
Yeah. So they were just kind of launching this radio network as a way to promote their authors and sell books.
Right.
So it was kind of an experiment at first, and then it just really started to take off, and we started selling a lot of books. So it became a really unique way to market, is to give people access to talk to these authors and ask them questions and interact just like a regular talk show. And then all of the advertising that we run is promoting our own events and products.
Okay.
So it's really like just a big marketing vehicle for Hay House Publishing.
Nice.
And has just really grown over the past few years. So we have done some trade deals to get us out there a little bit more. Like for a while we were providing content to... XM Sirius before that whole thing became whatever it is now.
Right.
You know, there was kind of a big falling out over there and a big merger and everything. So some of the people I was working with were not there anymore. They were let go. But I mean, there's a need for content, as you'll see with your show. You know, people need content.
Yes.
And what we have is so unique. You know, it really fills a niche with women listeners. Like our main draw, you know, our listeners are like 90% women. It's just a gold mine. And the main age, you know, we've got like 25-54 broadly, but it's really kind of narrows down a little bit more. So like I'd say 25, you know, 45-50 is like the age group, but it's such an amazing niche to get a hold of.
Well, you've got to be discovering that, I mean, even though you're targeted to women, you've got to have, you know, it's the information is useful for men as well, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's kind of an interesting mix. I mean, we have some people, it's all self-help and motivational programming. So you've got kind of a mix of people. We have really, you know, esteemed doctors and psychiatrists and life coaches and that kind of thing. But then we also have you know, you're a few people that might talk to dead people and, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, intuitives, we have a couple of people that do, like, I hate to say psychic, so I'll say intuitive.
Okay.
So, you know, kind of on more of, we have health, wellness, spirituality. So it kind of it runs the gamut. But I think it's, of that genre, we really have the best of the best.
Does it border on religious, spiritual stuff? I mean, there's got to be some of that involved in it.
You know, a little bit, but it's like we have someone that's an angel expert, and she does, you know, angel readings and that kind of thing.
Right.
But it's really more of a non-denominational thing, so we don't really go into, I say more spiritual than religious.
Right.
So, you know, we don't really kind of endorse any kind of specific religious dogma or anything like that.
Yeah, I suppose there is a pretty big difference between the two, so.
Yeah, very much, very much so.
Tell me about Louise Hay, who's the founder, author of You Can Heal Your Life. I think folks are familiar with her with appearances on Oprah, and she's a big name in the self-help business, and she got this thing off the ground, is that correct?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, she's kind of the queen of the new age. You know, if you do a little digging, you know, Louise has been around. She actually started the company back in the 80s with that book that she self-published, and then it's just grown to be a worldwide company. Like, we have offices in England, South Africa, India. So it took off more than she ever could have really, you know, really imagined. So, and she still is involved. We have a president and CEO that kind of runs the day-to-day, but she gets her hand in things.
And hosts an occasional show here and there?
She does. She does a show with her assistant where they talk about the people that benefit from her. She has a foundation that she does a lot of charitable work with. So,
Right. You
know, it's kind of a PSA show where they talk to different groups that they help and that kind of thing. So she does some stuff on the air. She's done some seminars. We do a lot of online seminars, too.
Uh-huh.
And she's participated in that. But, I mean, she's still going strong at 84 and is kind of an inspiration. You know, definitely to me, because she didn't start the company until her 60s. So people that think that you can't do anything or you're too old or you have some kind of limiting thing you're telling yourself, it's just not true.
Yeah, she's an inspirational message unto herself. That's pretty cool.
Absolutely.
HayHouseRadio.com. It's radio for your soul. We have a link on the page for Diane's show here, so you can kind of click on there and browse while you're listening and get more details. So there's sort of two things going on here. There's the self-help theme, but I think in a backhanded way, the whole outfit is sort of represents independence. I mean, it is an independent thing. It's separated and detached from terrestrial radio. Are you feeling part of the new independent technology-based independence that's going on?
Absolutely. I think that's where all the creativity lies right now. Well, as you and I know, I don't know if you'll tell anybody about our rock and roll history, but
there's some of it we can tell.
A little bit, you know, but both of us have seen the industry change drastically, and,
yep.
You know, it became like you were whipped if you didn't say this, that, or the other at the certain time, and, you know, national contest.
You didn't say the call letters the right way, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you were under the thumb, you know, and God forbid if you played that Led Zeppelin song. So it just became very, very restrictive. And then what's so cool now and what I'm seeing with web broadcasting is, you know, there's room for everybody, and there really is so much variety and choice. I mean, like, the people that are attracted to what we're doing, you know, it skews mostly women, but, you know, we get a lot of other people that listen too. You know, a lot of men can benefit from the programming too, and it really helps people. You know, people call in, and what's cool for me, Bill, and I'm sure you'll see, like, with people that contact you, it's just global, and it's so cool to be able to have that reach.
Yeah.
That, you know, we can be in contact with people all around the world, and we have listeners that log in. I mean, I've got an email from Iceland, you know, Belgium. I mean, we have listeners in Reykjavik. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I know. I'm noticing the same thing. There's something like my Webalizer stats are telling me on a day-to-day basis what countries are listening to it. I mean, they're small numbers, but they're, you know, spread out through many, many different countries. And the instant interaction is amazing. You can get feedback on a show you've done the very next day. And you don't have to wait for the quarterly or monthly trends and numbers to find out how you're doing. It's actually just right in front of you day-to-day, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting to see, like, I've watched things grow, and, I mean, it was kind of a curve for me. Like, when I first came over from terrestrial radio, I was still kind of trying to do things the way that we used to do, you know, and you can't really have contesting like we did. You know, it's kind of crazy to have caller number 10.
Right.
You know, and that kind of thing just wasn't working, so I had to kind of tweak the way I was used to doing things to this new model, so it was really interesting. And then I didn't know anything about, you know, clicks or unique listeners and what all that, you know.
I'm still learning that stuff every day.
Yeah, yeah. And it's interesting. So there was that curve, you know, and I'm still learning a lot too, you know, how to read the stats and things like that. But you're right, where you can see a little more instantly how many people are logged in at a certain time.
Right.
You know, where your listenership is highest and that kind of thing.
And here's the part I want to get into, and this may bore most of the people listening, but if there are any radio industry people listening, which I'm sure there may be a few, they'll get into this part of the conversation. Demographics. I mean, you talked about the Hay House Radio is targeted to mostly females, and you are concerned with demos, but I think the average radio program director would tell me I'm crazy because I'm presenting completely different content every single day, and where I could have a show that would be targeted to an 18 to 34 male one day and then a 25-54 female the next, they would tell me that wouldn't be very productive in radio. I think, though, and I want to know if you agree with me, that in this day and age, those things really don't matter as much. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that if you're giving people good content, you don't have to really worry so much about that, you know, individually.
Right.
I mean, it just kind of works out with us that the majority, I mean, just from I'm seeing of the people that call in, you know, we have a handful of men, but it is the majority of people that are using it are women, and the majority of the people that buy, you know, self-help are women.
Sure, and I mean, it is somewhat specific because your authors are all in the same line for the most part and that, but, you know, I think we can cross these lines now is my point. I mean, it's every single day you can find out content. You may tune in one day and then find out that there's content that has nothing to do with you, but then the next day you never know. You might be more interested in something than you thought you were. So, I don't know, I kind of always like the idea of putting something out that could be available to any number of different people, but I don't know. I don't know if that variety is as dangerous as it used to be in terrestrial radio. You know, I guess that's just where I'm going with that.
No, I mean, I think the rules are, those old rules just don't apply.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, the more variety that you can put out there to attract the greater number of people is better. You know, and you don't know who's going to be interested in where they're listening or what they're doing. So, yeah, the old rules just don't work anymore.
So many different things about this technology these days that's different. And I mean, by going from one kind of guest one day to, well, I had the mayor of Sunrise on yesterday and you today. So the mayor may take the link to his page and send it to any number of people, a handful of people, have them check it out. You'll do the same to a whole different group of people. And, you know, if I can handpick a listener or two every single day when that happens, that's, you know, that's the goal here. So I didn't mean to make this talk about my show. So I just was just kind of throwing it out there since you're another web radio person.
Right. Well, that's where you learn where the word viral comes in.
Exactly,
you know?
exactly.
And how that can work. And that's a whole other phenomenon that's just so interesting, because you'll see something go viral on the web, you know, like Dramatic Prairie Dog. I don't know if you know what that little clip was, but now they're showing it in CarMax commercials. Like, you know, other people are going to the web for their creativity. You know, and that, because that's where it's happening. I mean, hopefully we're not going to get that kind of regulation and be under the thumb, and I know there's some people that are worried about that now.
Yeah.
As far as people having to pay, you know, and that kind of thing.
Well,
hopefully it'll still be a free resource for people.
So, yeah, accessible. I know. I think it's something that, you know, they've gone this long with it being free. I think it has to stay that way. But we'll find out. Now, if we can pass along any inspirational message here from this interview that we're doing, I think Diane mentioned one thing earlier, and that is if you think you're too old to get something off the ground, just look at Louise Hay as an inspiration. But also, if you think back to 20, 25 years ago when we were first listening to radio, and then to think that these days, if somebody hears this show or one of your shows and is inspired to do so, Literally, they could have their own show up and running in 48 hours and do it themselves. That is the difference, and that's the age we live in. So I guess I'm just passing along that piece of inspiration to people that if you hear something that you think you can do, there's nothing stopping you from doing it yourself if you're listening.
No, absolutely, and you're the perfect example of that. And, you know, and even like all of our hosts that are doing shows now, I mean, most of them have... probably all of them, you know, have never hosted a radio show until they started doing it here.
Right.
So it's interesting to see the people that will really take to the medium and they'll love it, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and they'll want to do it, and then other people will just freeze behind a microphone, and they may be very accomplished speakers, but then you get them behind a mic by themselves, and you know how weird it is to talk to yourself, you know, in a small room.
You never get over hearing your own voice, you know.
Right. You have to learn to love it, you know.
Exactly.
So it's funny to see how some people will just really kind of grow with it and become, you know, really pretty good show host, you know, and then other people will not have such an easy time of it.
Right. It takes some time, and it had been long enough for me that I had been behind the mic that I really kind of had to use the first few weeks of this to get the chops back, you know, and that's going to segue into my next subject here. One of the goals that I set out for myself to do with this show is to gather up people that interview people for a living and interview them, which is what I'm doing with you now, to put you on the other side of the microphone with this. Now, I know it was always one of my favorite things to do as part of my job, the rare opportunity that we had to interview people. And now that you're doing that on a full-time basis, are you loving it, and how tough is it to adjust, and where did you pull most of your inspiration or influences on interviewing?
Well, you know, it's funny that you bring that up, because when I first came over here, you know, my background is rock radio,
right,
like yourself, so I was kind of freaking out, and I'm thinking, I can't do talk. I mean, I was so intimidated to do talk radio. I'm like, I can't help these people with their shows. I mean, there was a lot of fear. So I called an old friend of ours, you know, John Ford.
Of course I do.
Who has worked for Sable Media and, you know, has done a bunch of things. I think you worked with him in Dallas.
And John was, yes, I worked with him for a long time in Dallas, and John was one of the earliest guests I had on this show.
Was he?
Get it off the ground. We had a great time with
him. Oh, good. I'm really glad that, you know, if you talk to him, tell him I said hi, because he said something to me that I always remember, and I was talking to him, and I'm like, John, I'm freaking out. I can't do this. I can't do talk. And he's like, what are you talking about? You know radio. He goes, you can do this. He goes, look, think of the callers as records, and then around the callers you put the best content that you can, and then it kind of clicked with me. Seriously, I'm like, oh, I can do this.
Yeah,
you know, it doesn't have to be that intimidating.
It's just the same thing we were doing, but with different content.
Right. So once I kind of got over that initial fear of, oh, I can't do talk, then it became a little bit easier. And then, of course, you know, there's some interviews that have bombed and, you know, some that have gone better than others, you know, but that's okay. I mean...
Yeah, it happens. Yeah.
Right, it happens. I mean, I think you learn as you go along, but the thing that's great for me with this is that I'm interested in all this stuff anyway.
Yeah.
So for me, it was fun. Like, I've always loved metaphysical things and psychology and, you know... talking to dead people and all that.
I mean, it's great that, I mean, I'm experiencing the same thing, especially since I'm doing such a wide range of different kinds of guests. Not only am I getting content out and providing it for the listeners, but I'm learning something new every day. There's one new thing at least that I can pull from every guest I have.
It is. I agree. The same thing. You know, like today I had, I do an interview show where I talk to authors on Mondays. And today I talked to this guy that wrote this really interesting book on dealing with depression called Beat the Blues. I'm like, oh, okay. You know, so I was able to think of things in a different way, and I learned something from him. So, yeah, I mean, I definitely learn from these really amazing people that I get to talk to and ask them questions. So I feel really lucky in that. But, yeah, I mean, I've been having a lot of fun with it, and it's definitely more of a challenge than, like, I had the rock radio thing down. Like, I could tell you, you know, all the members of Led Zeppelin and who played what and, you know, the keyboard player of whatever.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing. And that became not, you know, you started going through the motions towards the end.
Right.
I mean, at least I felt that I was. Like, I wasn't really challenged.
Yeah. How many different things can you say about Sweet Home Alabama every time you play it, you know? So.
I know. I mean, I tried. I mean, I pulled it out as much as I could, you know.
Exactly.
To say all that kind of stuff. And, you know, and then you try to keep up with pop culture and things like that. But then you get to the point, oh, I really don't care about American Idol anymore,
right,
you know.
Right.
So this became much more of a challenge for me because some of these people, you know, I would get intimidated because some of them are just really accomplished, you know, these brilliant professors and some crazy mad scientist kind of people. And,
mm-hmm.
and so it's interesting. It really is. I'm fascinated all the time.
I know we sort of touched on this subject before, but I think we'll find this interesting because you started over at Hay House Radio 4 years ago. And I think in the last 4 years is a perfect time frame to talk about how technology has increased. I mean, was there a difficulty 4 years ago compared to now as far as the shows being accessible, working on computers across the different platforms, different browsers, and oh, were you hearing from people a long time ago, oh, I it's not working on my computer, and now that's not the case? I mean, are the avenues just opening up wider and wider every day?
I think so. I think it is getting better. I mean, I have seen, you know, there were people that just weren't really getting it. Like, I was trying to explain to them what the online radio network was, and they're like, well, can you get it in the car? I'm like, well, not really yet, you know, but we're hoping someday. And, you know, but now, like, we have apps on the iPhone and things like that. There's definitely been a curve where people are becoming more tech savvy.
Yeah.
And I've just seen it grow from, you know, like even just a year and a half ago, we had like 2,000 uniques, which, you know, you want to get those unique people,
yep,
which are new listeners. So now we've got roughly 4,000 unique visitors daily.
Wow.
Yeah, which is really good. And it still continues to grow. And the other thing that's interesting is how people's listening is different. You know, like now we have, it's kind of like what happened with TV and cable. You know, people listen to our stuff on demand. I mean, just like they'll listen to your show later when they can.
Right.
It gives people that freedom. So if they miss their favorite show, they're like, okay, well, I can just go into the archives,
yep,
and just stream it on my computer later whenever I want.
Yeah.
So, you know, which is so cool. Like, it puts the power into their hands,
well,
so they can
listen
when they want.
And I have to be patient with people when they ask questions like, what time is your show on? And and I love being able to say anytime you want. Now, you mentioned something briefly before that I think I'll take this opportunity to pass this along to my listeners, that we have an iPhone app and that you can take your iPhone and plug it into the auxiliary input in your car and drive around and listen to it. That's what I do. Every time I do a show, I listen to it myself in the car while I'm driving around. So anyone who thinks that they need to be tethered to their computer to listen to it, it's not the case. And the same with you. If you have an iPhone app, the show is probably more mobile than people think. And it's about to get a whole lot more mobile in the next year or two.
Absolutely. I think all that's going to change, and you know, it's going to be in people's cars a lot easier now. I mean, I was reading something about that just recently. But, yeah, you can take it with you. You know, what people are doing on their iPods. I mean, just download the material and create your own playlist and,
yeah,
listen to the shows how you want. So that's what a lot of the people do mostly with our material. Like, they'll listen to the live stream because we broadcast live from, like, 9 a.m. Pacific till 3 o'clock.
And then the shows repeat themselves.
Right.
Right.
And then they repeat through the overnights. And then after it's aired through that cycle, it'll go into the archives.
Right.
And the numbers for downloads are incredible. Like, we have over 125,000 downloads of our material accessed monthly.
Wow.
Yeah. So then, and I'm seeing those numbers grow. Like, I've watched that over the past, you know, 2 years. So it's interesting how people's habits are changing. You know, they're using the material differently.
It's a little revealing for people like you and me, though, to hear,
yeah,
that you can look at the numbers on a day-to-day basis and go, whoa, that show yesterday was not that popular.
Right.
Right. And then you kind of let that go by and let your ego handle that, you know?
Right. You know, and you can take a couple of hits occasionally if you,
yep,
see that. But also it gives you, I mean, what valuable information. Like,
yes,
now you can look and see, you know, instantly what's happening. Okay, people like if I talk about this a little bit more than this,
right,
you know?
It can direct your content. And
right,
it speaks for the independence of it and how people, you're actually giving the people what they really want instead of what the corporation you're working for wants you to do.
Right, and that's and it's so nice to have that information. And for us, I mean, it's a little different with our model because we're not so much. I mean, we're sales driven of sales of our own stuff, but we're not advertised sales driven. And that's something that I'm hoping we dip into a little bit more because we're going to look for like-minded people to partner with as maybe corporate sponsorships, like make a deal with Johnson & Johnson or Oil of Olay, you know, or people that will want to advertise their products to our particular niche.
Right.
So, I mean, that's something I'm hoping that we do. But, I mean, right now it's been really successful as a marketing tool to sell Hay House books.
Absolutely.
But I'm like, you know, as a radio background, like I'm thinking of what else can we do to push us out there?
Yeah. And the good thing about this is it can be, and I don't know how you guys are handling this because in the case of my show, I can actually take a business owner, promote their business with an interview in sort of like an infomercial type form. And then I can generate revenue that way as well as the advertising, you know?
Right. And how we do it and kind of in a similar way, too, you know, because we're driving people to the websites to, you know, to buy the books and products and to go to the events. Mm-hmm. And the online seminars, too, is another thing where people can take workshops and classes with these authors and teachers, and they pay, you know, X amount of fee or whatever for that particular workshop, and they get to interact, you know, with the author and call in like a radio show, and then they get the material to keep. You know, plus they get PDFs and things that they can work along with the course.
Right.
So it's like a real course.
Sure it is. It's very educational, very informative, and it's a great package at HayHouseRadio.com, Radio for Your Soul. Listen for Diane's show. Your particular programs that you do is, what, live weekly? Is that what we're doing?
Right. My show is live weekly on Mondays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 Eastern.
Okay.
And then it'll go into the archives so people can listen later.
Right.
And I just talk to authors with that have new books coming out, mostly Hay House authors. It has been a couple other people in the past. So, yeah, you know, we just talk, we take calls, we do book giveaways, you know, kind of like a regular radio show in every way. But that was one of my main goals when I first got here was I wanted the network to sound like a radio station, you know, so we have sweepers and promos and show promos and author drops and, you know, all the stuff that we had.
Nice.
Yeah, the same thing. So I think we do a pretty good job of really making us sound, you know, like a real network. So that really was important to me, too.
Okay, so that's really cool that we got to talk about this. Now, your radio background involves a couple of times where we had the opportunity to work together. At, I think we worked together at She a couple of times. You're giggling already.
I know. It just brings back some fun memories.
I know, and I want you to pull up a couple of them for you. Now, you were in rock and roll radio, as you mentioned before. We spent a lot of time at concerts. We did a lot of events that we just had, you know, lifelong memories from. What are some of the finer moments that you remember about your career in terrestrial radio?
Wow, wish I could. I don't even know if there's some that I could talk about.
I know some of them aren't airable.
Right,
but,
they're
know.
Not airable. But, I mean, there was just some great shows. The people that I worked with, you know, Bill Pugh and people at She. And
great program directors along the way, yeah.
Right. You know, the great people that you worked with along the way at Big 106, you know, a lot of people that I still keep in touch with, a lot of those people, too. But, yeah, just I'm trying to think of, like, a crazy thing, but...
Well, I mean, I'm sure, what about your brushes with greatness with some of the celebrities and people that you hung out with backstage and interviewed? I mean, I'm putting you on the spot, I know. And later, as soon as you hang up from this call about...
I know, I'll think of a bunch of them. You know what, I can think of one right now from Big 106. I don't know how much of a brush with fame, but it was Peter Max, you know, the artist.
Oh, yeah.
And he was telling a story about how he was at the Indica Gallery when John met Yoko.
Wow.
And while we're talking, he's doodling something at the same time, and I just was thinking to myself, I want to grab that doodle, you know, in case it might be worth something and have him sign it later, you know.
Now it would be great on eBay, you know, something, some scribble from Peter Max.
Right, what could I sell, you know, to make some money? But there was some good people that came through. I remember talking to, a couple of the Doobie Brothers.
Right.
I think we had ZZ Top one time, Kiss.
And it was just
some great stuff.
Like you and all the people we worked with, we all share one thing in common, is that we just really loved what we were doing. We were extremely underpaid and we didn't care.
Yes.
And we had a lot of fun with it, but it sure beat working for a living.
Oh, that's for sure. I mean, you know, we weren't sweating it out in the studio, but I think like I knew was kind of the beginning of the end was when I got to go on this Italy trip, and it was when John Roz, another coworker of ours,
right.
Usually the afternoon guy would host that kind of stuff, never the midday girl, which is what I was doing. Well, John took a job at another market, so I got to host the Italy trip, the
wow.
ski trip at Big 106. I'm like, oh, it's never going to get any better than this, you know.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the apex of my career, I always thought, you know, because I got to do that trip. I was so excited.
When you got back from that, you're like, I can retire now.
Right. Yeah, my rock days are over. This is it. Just never. It's not going to get any better than that.
Now, you start about noticing the beginning of the end. We're hoping, I mean, we're not really hoping in an evil way, but, I mean, we're anticipating sort of a shift from radio the way it is or has been for the last 20 years into this new media in forms of your show and my show and the like. But I think the most important thing is that the people are speaking for themselves and reaching out to each other. We, you know, the corporate takeover, I'm asking you something that I know the answer to, and I know you and I have discussed it before many times, but you could really feel it coming down when everything started consolidating and all the corporations started taking over all the radio stations. And, you know, when did you feel that happening?
Oh, I felt it, gosh, when was it? Like late 90s.
Right.
And I remember going through two mergers in 1 year.
Yeah.
It was Capstar and AM/FM, and then Clear Channel took over that. And it was right, and I remember the day I told you, I'm like, hey, I just got a job offer to work with Rick Peters, and I'm leaving Big 106. And you're like, what? And people were telling me, what are you leaving this easy gig for? You know, you got it made. And it was a joke, like my sister, oh, you're Diane Ray, show me your business card. I mean, because you could get, you know, it was so great. You could get swag all over Miami.
Oh, yeah.
And,
oh, yeah.
You know?
Get right to the front of the VIP
right.
line.
Yeah. Here's your business card, you know. But I sense like, you know, like I had hit the ceiling at Big. I mean, they were never going to give me afternoon drive. And, I mean, I kind of knew I've got to make a change. So I saw, like, what was going on with the voice tracking, and I went to Star System. And that was really when I saw a lot of things change, and I took a lot of flack for that. I mean, I remember people, you know, telling me I was ruining the industry and they're hating me because of voice tracking. And I was telling people, look, this is coming and you need to see what's going on. And I remember, I think it was even Al Chio said to me, oh, they'll never voice track in a major market.
Ugh.
I said, look, I'm telling you, this is going to happen.
I think Chio's old spot is now being voice tracked probably.
It is. And it's sad that, you know, I watched a lot of good people be put out of work, and I watched what made local radio great, the originality that you'd hear when you drove across the country and you heard different stations, and then that was all getting sucked away. And, you know, you'd hear a big New York voice guy in Boise, and,
right.
you know, it just, it didn't have the, you know, the flavor, the locality, you know, like you used to know, like when I grew up in South Florida, and you know, like Y100 was the big station, it was the sound of Miami, and it sounded like a South Florida station.
Right, and they were in touch with the whole community.
Absolutely, and I saw a lot of that. That was really changing.
Well, you know, you get the last laugh now because people were advising you against what you were doing, and it turns out you had a head start on all of us.
I was just trying to get some more money because I knew I wasn't going to get a raise over at Big. And Rick was like, well, I'll pay you this. And I said, okay, well, that sounds better than what I'm getting here.
Nice.
But I did. I actually learned a lot from Rick Peters. You know Rick.
Oh, of course. Oh,
and,
one of my first bosses back
right.
in the day. Yeah.
And he kind of saw what was happening with that. And, yeah, that was an interesting couple of years at Star System where I could see really where the technology was.
Oh, yeah.
It was really changing things.
Well, it's a good thing you did that, and I hope I wish you continued success with everything at Hay House Radio. You can listen to Diane weekly on her live program there, and also, you know, get into the archives, sign up at the website, and become a member, and, you know, get some self-help and great entertainment at the same time. Diane, hang on for just a second so I can close out the show, but thank you so much for joining me on my measly little new startup internet show.
It was so much fun, and I'm glad that we had a chance to talk.
Yeah, and we will do this again in the future. We want to keep up with what's going on over there. And again, thanks very much. That's Diane Ray, HayHouseRadio.com. Check it out. We've got links there on the page for you to check it out. Coming up, Later this week, another great edition of Music Friday. Tune in again tomorrow and find out who we have on tomorrow's edition right here at BillMurphyShow.com.
Log on each weekday for another edition of The Bill Murphy Show at BillMurphyShow.com. If you'd like to be a guest, send an email to Murph@BillMurphyShow.com. That's M-U-R-P-H at BillMurphyShow.com. A Murphonics Media Production.